It is Sunday the 25th of February and this is the Cats Listeners Podcast. Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, whenever it is you happen to be listening, as per usual. We are in the Bunkers Hill, we're around the table. And so with me is Ant.
Evening.
And Adam.
Hello.
We've also got some captive audience members around the table, some of whom you may know. Hello, Jono.
Hello.
Hello, Paul.
Oh, hello.
When we've got Zara and Tony over there. Say hey. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
So, I think this podcast has a very different tone to it than if we had done this 24 hours ago. Adam and Ant did.
We did a periscope.
You did a periscope. Adam and Ant did go up to the shopping centre in Bray Head. We'll come on to that momentarily. I mean, it's only a couple of weeks since we last did a podcast, but we kind of feel like we've got enough to talk about. We've got enough that, you know, it warrants us doing a podcast right now. So we'll just run through some of the stuff that has happened since we were last with you. So we have had a 5-1 win against Dundee, a 6-4 loss against the Steelers, a 3-2 overtime win against the Flyers, a 5-4 win against the Devils, and I think we might talk about that one in a little bit of length, perhaps.
I should think so too. We're definitely going to talk about it.
We should get Jono to win tonight, that last goal.
Yeah, most definitely.
Like Phoenix on the flanks.
and it's been nice knowing you, Jono. Jono Bullard has just expired.
It'd be a travesty if I can't breathe after that.
So as already mentioned, Ant and Adam were present in the building for what can only be described as a catastrophic loss against the Clan, 9-3. And somehow we've managed to turn it around this evening to come away with the points in a 5-1 win against the Belfast Giants. Apparently, we're only picking off points from the top half of the table right now. We're not interested in the rest of the minnows around us. We just want to go for the guys who are, you know, up at the top and still, you know, gunning for trophies. So, Sheffield, we're coming for you. I'm just going to put that out there.
Hang on, there aren't enough points in the remaining games to actually overtake them.
Oh, no, I never said we're going to overtake them. But, you know, maybe next game.
We're going to deny Sheffield some points.
Hey, well, it's been done this week. It has been done this week. Maybe something else we can sort of touch on. But, it's been a... It's been an interesting few weeks, hasn't it, guys? Because we're getting flashes of the team that we were promised, I think, is probably how I would describe it. Either of you want to sort of weigh in on that statement?
I agree. I think we're seeing more than flashes. I mean, the run that we've been on of late, you know, stringing the wins together, you know, it's been really good. And, of course, you know, we can't sort of talk about things without sort of referencing what happened towards the start of the season, but it's almost like the players have come out of their shells a little bit and they've rediscovered their confidence, and you know, they've almost realised that they are good hockey players and we have got a good roster, and it's skilled and it's talented. Yeah, of course, you know, we can have the odd aberration on any given night, and you know, last night was very much an aberration, I'm trying to sort of erase it from the memory, but it's still a bit too fresh.
Yeah, well, of course, I mean, not that I want to, you know, put a cloud over the two of you guys, but it's already been pointed out that you were present for the big loss up in, well, yeah, the loss in Fife, yeah, that, you know, just had, yeah, was like a basketball score.
If the club want to pay us to stay away from the next Scottish away trip, then, you know, we're open to offers. No, look, I think we're going in the right direction. If you look, there's far more positives than downsides in recent weeks. You know, we're seeing good individual performances, but we're also seeing, you know, a bit more cohesion on some of the lines. And it is nice to see. And I think, you know, I'm sure others around the table would probably agree with me, but I reckon we can give anybody a game on their night. You know, yeah, okay, last night, let's forget about that. You know, put it to the back of our minds. Going forwards, you know, the win against Cardiff last week in midweek, the win tonight against Belfast, you know, we've got to sort of draw from that as we go forward and just keep reminding ourselves that we are able to beat, you know, pretty much everybody in this league. I know we've got problems beating Sheffield, but we're not alone in that regard. So, you know, but we are getting very close. And, you know, the last two games against Sheffield, we have been very, very close and we've been very, very competitive against them. So, you know, that should give the players a confidence going forwards to think, right, we can make the top eight. And, you know, if we make that top eight, let's hope it's not finishing eighth, because we all know who we'd get in the quarterfinals.
Oh, but God, we don't need that.
Yeah, if we can finish seventh, I'm not scared of Cardiff or Belfast or whoever finishes second, because I think over two nights, we can give them a good game. Okay, we might fall a little short, but I think we could spring a surprise.
They're going to know about it. If we get Belfast or Cardiff, especially best.
Anybody at the moment. We're not getting anybody at the moment. Let's start. We've got games in hand. Games in hand don't mean
Jack.
Sugar until you've won them. So yeah, let's just leave that until the end of the season, please. Thank you very much. Let's just enjoy this run we're on. Yeah. Apart from last night, and you know, it's nice to have something to cheer about for a bit. You know, and I should think so too.
I mean, if we were still doing titles, I think that might be the year. That might be the title.
Favourite bit of Jono's commentary. It was just beautiful. I mean, I've been poorly for the last 2 weeks, so unfortunately I was at home watching the webcast, and I'll tell you what a time to watch a webcast. What a time to not be in the arena and having being stuck at home watching the webcast when you hear something like that.
John,
beautiful, John.
He's available on the NHS.
Beautiful. Anyway, sorry. Back to...
Yeah, no, well, I mean... Yeah, I think Adam has sort of come to the end of the current points. But I think we maybe did trip up a little bit against the Flyers, because we gave them a point. You know, we could, that's a point we could have done without letting them have, really, because, you know, that's who we're chasing at the moment.
I want in on this bit, because me and Adam have had this discussion quite heatedly several times.
And you're still talking. Well done, gentlemen.
On the 4.5 hour journey to and from Louis's house. I don't care about Fife at the moment. Fife and ninth. I don't care about ninth. It's 8-4 above. So I couldn't give a flying Flyers what they're doing or what points they're getting. We need to do better than the likes of Clan, Manchester, Coventry, Dundee. Forget the Flyers at the moment.
Yeah, but I mean...
Flyers are worried because they're rapidly running out of games. You know, we've got, I think, four of them.
They are much more ahead than anybody else, aren't they?
Yeah, and I think that's possibly why there's been quite a few people at that organisation talking about their travel schedule, because they seem to have crammed more games in. Well, you know, the table doesn't lie. You know, they play more fixtures than anybody else. So their travel schedule has probably been a bit more chaotic than any of the other nine teams. But, you know, they've had problems over the year with sort of imports leaving unexpectedly and playing with a short bench. I know every team plays with a short bench from time to time, but, you know, 5-5 running out of games. And we need to... I do agree with Dan, you know, we can't count our... I'm trying to remember the...
Chickens before the hats.
We can't do that. Thank you very much for that. And, you know, we've got to get the points on the board. But, you know, you look at the league table and you think, if we can, you know, even win... two of the four games in hand that we've got on teams above us, then that puts us in a really good position. I'm just a bit concerned about our schedule. I think I've said this before.
It is congested.
We've got a lot of games to cram into the next few weeks, more than other teams, and you just hope everybody holds up physically.
Especially Rock.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm sure we'll talk about that in a bit. But
it's on the agenda.
But we are subjecting guys to big minutes, you know, because of the frequency of games. And, you know, Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday or Wednesday, and then Saturday and Sunday, that's a really punishing and unforgiving schedule. So, you know, doing that for like 4 or 5 weeks between now and the end of the regular season, let's just hope we can, you know, put some of these guys in cotton wool. Mainly Cole Neal, who is, well, we've got a superhero night coming up, and I think Cole Neal is rapidly becoming our superhero, because logging those sorts of minutes every night is just superhuman. No, I don't think he does. I think he's just, he's omnipresent. He's there all the time.
I mean, it's not going to happen, but he's going for curtain back's record, isn't he? It's just like, it's clearly not going to happen. But he is logging a lot of ice time. So, I mean, you've mentioned it, so we'll sort of jump ahead to that. So recently, we received the news that Mike Robinson has left the club, which does put us in a bit of a spot in terms of netminding. Because when you're coming into this crucial stretch that we are now, yeah, I think like you say, Adam, you know, Stojanovic has got to be protected at all costs at this point. Yeah. Because, I mean, Robinson didn't start a lot of games. We know that Stojanovic is our number one. Lucas Sheldon has not seen a competitive minute of ice time for the Elite League, for the Panthers at Elite League level this season. So, and from my personal perspective, and, you know, maybe I'm being a little bit sensationalist, or, you know, whatever, you guys can, you know, bring me back down or whatever. Last night's game, when it gets to about 5 or 6 goals, and it's blatantly obvious that we are, there's no pulling that back. I don't see what the harm was in giving Sheldon some ice time, because Stojanovic's head had gone. Yeah, you could see that.
We were leaving the sticks in at every possible opportunity. Mm. The refs were doing nothing to protect him. Admittedly, the Panthers team weren't doing much to protect him either. But
well, we haven't got guys like that, have we? We've got Paré maybe, but it's not really what he's explicitly been employed to do.
Kelso will always fight for the team.
Absolutely. Well, he will, yeah. But again, it's not explicitly what he's been employed to do. And he can't be on the ice for the entire game. So these sorts of things are always going to happen while those kind of guys are not on the ice. But the thing is, and I'll come to you in a sec, but the thing is, if Rok Stojanovic's head has gone so badly, and it had, and I think it was obvious to anybody with eyes that it had, You have to think about putting Sheldon in, because if nothing else, you are destroying the confidence of Rok Stojanovic by leaving him in. Because and what does it do to Sheldon when he knows that, you know, aside from Stojanovic breaking a leg or something, he's not going to get on the ice? And then you've got a situation, you know, let's dial it back a few years. Mika Wiekman's in goal up in Sheffield, and he gets stretched off the ice, and Dan Green, who's only seen 20 minutes of ice time all season, has to go in, and the first shot that he concedes is on a breakaway.
I was literally just about to sarcastically mention, watch us get into the playoffs in 8th position, play Sheffield in the quarterfinals, get a first leg win, and then first minute in the second leg, oh, somebody just accidentally on purpose has bumped into a rock and breaks his blooming leg. You know, oh, well, we've never seen that happen before, have we? But you're right. I mean, last night, I mean, it's two ways. Rock bounce, that's how you bounce back tonight.
Yes, absolutely.
From that shambles last night, yes. And it was a shambles. We were all over the place. I said to you guys in the chat, I don't think playing the 7D helped us last night, because there was too much mixing and matching going on.
I mean, I understand why, because you've got to give Tetlow the opportunity to get match fit again.
Totally understand it. Totally understand why we did it. I just don't think the systems worked for us last night, and Rock didn't have his best game. The Clan were allowed to get at him, and the referees did nothing to protect him. So, you know, two-way, but that's how you bounce back tonight.
Yep, most definitely.
I mean, I was desperate for the lose, so I missed the man of the match. Who got our man of the match? Because if it wasn't Rock, it was Rock.
Yeah, it was Rock.
It was. That's how you bounce back.
Yes.
You know.
Well, they had 44 shots on him, and he only conceded one.
Yeah. Well, you know,
That'll do.
I mean, I was quite surprised that they only put up 6 shots for Belfast after the first period, to be honest. But we, like I say, you need to wrap him in bubble wrap, don't you? And hope he doesn't get hurt. But you're right. We need to. I don't know how, because every game is so important at the moment and on the running. I don't know. I can't see a situation where we're going to be able to give Sheldon ice time.
Exactly.
So we need to get him playing for the Lions. You know, maybe pisses the Lions off a little bit by, you know, by us exerting some authority or what have you. But we need to get him at least playing for the Lions and get him that ice time. So he's playing on a regular basis. And if he is needed, at least he's got some match fitness, which is what Dan Green didn't get.
Yeah.
I suppose if you look at it from the other side of the fence, if Rock, well, I say if, there's no ifs about it, Rock will be playing and starting every game from now on. If he gets hot, then that might be enough to sort of really carry us up the table. You know, if Rock starts putting in a series of performances like he did tonight, then, you know, who knows where we can sort of end up the table. I mean, I'm a sort of firm believer that if a netminder is in a good place mentally and can string 2-3 good performances together, why stop there? You know, you could string another 5 or 6 good performances. I just worry a little bit that he's going to burn out, that, you know, given the frequency of games, it's hard for a netminder to stay sharp, you know, and alert. Especially sometimes if the defensive effort from those guys in front of you, you know, drops a little bit short, and then you're sort of exposed. So I hope that Rock stays fit, because we've seen how Rock played in Sheffield, you know, a few years ago. He put up some really, really good numbers, you know, great numbers. And whilst, you know, by his own admission, he probably has fallen a little bit short this year of where he wanted to be in terms of performances. You can't argue that, you know, when he's on his game and when he's actually at the top of his performance arc, he is probably, you know, top 3 netminder in the league, you know, I would argue.
Yeah, definitely. So while we're sort of on the potential frailties and fragilities of the team, we played the 7D system again tonight. Obviously, because we're trying to bleed Tetlow back in, get him his match fitness back and everything. But the forward lines have suffered a little bit more again because we have lost Weston Michaud, who's been an assist monster. That man has been, he's been the David Ling of this season in the last sort of 5-6. Go on, hang on.
19 points in 9 games, 3 plus 16.
I mean, inhumane sort of stats.
He tweets about Logan Nielsen scoring like 7 in 7 now, is it, or something like that? But, or no, 8 in 8.
He's got the
6 in 6, 7 in 8 for Logan Nielsen.
Yeah, yeah. But, and then, yeah,
3 for Brantley Luciani as well.
Yeah. And Mio didn't get, you know, any loving for that run that he's been on. It was a horrible, horrible challenge that happened last night. I mean, I almost missed it because, like, Adam and I pretty much spent the second and third periods with a head in our hands last night. But yeah, it's just another thing that happened that wasn't called, surprisingly enough. So
yeah, and I mean, there's been some lovely chemistry going on with the lines that we've been running over the last few weeks, and it's been instrumental in the run. So last night aside, you know, the last couple of weeks, in fact, you know, even the last like couple of games, you know, let's just take the games against the top of, you know, the teams at the top of the table against the Giants and the Devils. It's been, they've been unplayable at times, haven't they?
Yeah.
And Michaud is obviously a big loss because he's been such a consistent provider for the guys scoring the goals. But he's obviously been able to contribute himself as well.
I think he's been a real sort of unheralded star.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of what he does is quite sort of unflashy and, you know, unsexy. But, you know, he's an essential part of, you know, our forward lines and, you know, the effort that we've been given over the recent games. And those stats, you know, speak for themselves. I think he's gone under the radar a little bit. You know, players that rack up assists don't generally get the headlines that they deserve. You know, it's all about goal scorers, and it's talked about Logan Nielsen there, obviously, and is there a, you know, a forward in better form in terms of goal scoring in the last few games? Probably not. I don't have the stats to hand, but you know, he's been electrifying. And
it's been incredible to watch, hasn't it?
It has. I mean, the fact there's, and no disrespect to him here, but he wasn't really much of an offensive threat for a lot of the season, and then all of a sudden, you know, a switch has just gone on, and he's on fire. Yes. To the point where I was telling Ian, who I sit next to tonight at the game, he needs to rein in his scoring prowess, because, you know, teams from maybe mainland Europe might be starting to look at that sort of form and go, you know, do we want to take a punt on this guy next season? So,
mitts off.
Yeah, slow down a bit, Logan. Just maybe three or four games without a goal. Let others pick up the slack. But no, it's really good. And it's nice to see him sort of turn it on. But yeah, getting back to Michaud, hell of a player. I really would like to see him sign, you know, back here for another season next year. I think, you know, a lot of players could possibly give more next year with a clearer mind, you know, sort of not completely unburdened and untroubled by what happened this year, because it'll always be with them. Let's not sort of beat around the bush about that. But, you know, maybe next year a bit more focus, you know, more emphasis on the hockey, and, you know, there's a lot of guys on this roster that I would quite happily root for and want back next year. And it would have been, I know it's a theoretical discussion and it's a little bit, you know, somber in some ways to talk about where we might be, you know, if what happened at the end of October had never happened. But I think it is a good roster. And I seriously think at the start of this year, we had a top three roster.
We were just discussing it amongst the guys that I sit with in Block 15. And we're all sort of the opinion that, and we've already mentioned it tonight, we're seeing much of the team that we were promised, and that team with Adam Johnson in it is something that would have been exciting if nothing else. So, you know, it's bittersweet the way that they're playing at the moment, I think, to be fair.
It is. I mean, it's giving us a taste of what maybe we could have had a whole season of. And okay, you know, we all understand the circumstances behind why that chemistry hasn't sort of formed or clicked, you know, before now, but let's just enjoy it for what it is now. You know, there's not a lot left of the season. Let's just get on a good run, do the best we possibly can. You know, as many others have said, just to be playing hockey is a bonus for me, and I'm sure a lot of other Panthers fans feel the same way. And, you know, if we can get on a good run and if we can, you know, play some good hockey and entertaining hockey and turn a few teams over, who knows where we might end up this season. You know, it could be, you know, dare I say, the ultimate fairy tale story.
Yeah, I mean, it would be lovely, it would be fitting, but we've got to fight for it. We've got to make sure we look after the players that we've got. But you know, here is hoping. So, I just want to quickly touch on, because we kind of breezed over it a little bit. So last night was Josh Tetlow's first game back following him breaking his arm in Dundee back in October. Poor bloke. So it kind of leaves us with an interesting conundrum. I feel like this might be a short discussion, but it kind of leaves us with an interesting conundrum, because now we have seven defencemen. However, and we have discussed this on a previous podcast, we have a little bit of a weapon in Joe Hazeldine because he can play both. So unless either of you want to disagree with me, when Tetlow's up to full match fitness, which you assume, you know, he's had a weekend, you'd like to think that he can be, you know, he can be thrown back in now, isn't it? He's experienced enough, I think. Are we thinking that we're moving Hazeldine to a forward line?
I don't see why not. Next to you, any point.
I did say I thought that was going to... I said it was going to be short. But yeah. Yeah.
Process of elimination. Who else are you going to move up there?
I don't think anybody. There's nobody. They're all defensive.
The thing is, you know, Hazeldine is at a stage of his career where, you know, he would have probably played D and forward as a very young guy. And so it might still be a bit fresher in his mind as a pro hockey player how to actually be a forward and what that actual role, you know, requires. So, and, you know, he's a mobile guy as well. without being unflattering, there are other guys in our blue line that aren't quite as mobile as him. So,
well, he's got offensive instincts as well. You know, you see at least once a period every game he's played where he's looking for the net. You know, he's looking for the opportunity to go forward.
Look at the goal he scored the other night.
Yes.
He's obviously got an eye for goal.
I was right behind that, and it was beautiful, I have to say. It was wonderful. Right, gentlemen, let us move on. And lady, sorry, I'm forgetting my fellow lady over there.
And yourself.
You're a lady yourself.
Well, I know, but I was addressing the table. I was addressing... Well, last time I checked. I was addressing the table. I mean... that's an in-joke that's not going on the podcast. So let's talk about this evening. So I'm not afraid to admit. So I have a tradition that I start the season with my newest jersey. I work my way back when I am and I change my jersey when I am present in person for a loss. So I am down. I'm down to my last Panthers jersey before I move on to NHL jerseys. I'm not afraid to admit that I came into this game tonight thinking that I was going to be I was going to be changing my jersey, and oh my god, did the guys show up. Resilience, bounce back ability, let's have all the cliches out tonight, because that performance tonight was brilliant.
It was a balls to the wall performance tonight.
Oh, I love that phrase. Yes, it is PG. Let's go.
After, I mean, we touched on last night. It was awful last night. That's how you bounce. I mean, I've said it already. That's how you bounce back. They protected Rock. Rock stood on his head. I mean, Belfast probably dominated. Well, they definitely dominated the second period. I mean, it helps when you're on the power play all the time. They had the better of the first period. Third period, I thought.
They had the better of the first period, and we still came out of it 3-0 up.
It was resilience. It was things like the 2 minutes to go, you're 5-1 up, and Nieminen. Thanks, Paul. He's still chasing the puck behind their net, putting pressure on their D-men. With 2 minutes to go, we're 5-1 up.
Yeah.
That, I mean, they must have had an absolute rollicking last night, because that is how you... Brilliant. It's brilliant. It's always nice to beat them as well. I mean, when was the last... I can't remember the last time we did it. They do, you know, we are...
We were due. We were due.
And what you said, Tony said it earlier, Sheffield, you're next. Yes, I'm going through. Jono's looking at me. I am doing my Goldberg. Sheffield, you're next. I hope it's got to end at some point.
Well, I mean, let's be
in Dundee when we buy him as well. So
I know. but I mean, as long as we do what we did last time we went up there and we give them a game, because I am still proud as hell of every single one of those guys, because they absolutely fight. Even last night, because I was watching the webcast, even last night they were still trying. They were spent, they were knackered, their heads were gone, but they were still trying until the final buzzer last night.
There's a reason why the fans at the end of the game stood up and were chanting. We were making more noise than the Clan fans. Didn't make any noise until with 2 minutes to go, and then at the end of the game, we've just been pumped 9-3, and yet it's our fans that are the ones that stood up and applauded because of that, because they didn't stop. But you know, that last game in Sheffield, if calls had gone the way they should have done, who's to say we probably would have come out with a win there? We're just I'm going to go on a rant.
And you're probably going to do a swear, and you've already done one, so I've got to do an explicit content warning already tonight. Anyway, Adam, sorry, go on.
I was going to talk about tonight's game and just say I was amazed. Well, I wasn't amazed, but I was so happy to see the level of effort from the guys, because right from puck drop, they were on it. You know, they battled for every loose puck. They were going into the corners. I thought there was some dubious tactics from Belfast in terms of, you know, stick work and some of the darker arts of hockey. But the fact is, we rose above that, and we played a sort of mature, you know, sensible, level-headed hockey game. And in the end, I think we got exactly what we deserved. You know, I was a bit worried at one point that, you know, if Belfast got a goal, you know, it might have tightened things up and we might have been a bit nervous and still a little bit mentally fragile from what happened last night. But we controlled that game really, really well. You know, we took our chances. I think we were sharper in front of net than Belfast were. Shots on goal, you know, we'll speak volumes about that. And even though Rock faced a lot of rubber, you know, I would say, and I don't want to sort of take away from his performance because, you know, he probably was man of the match worthy. He didn't really have to pull off any absolute worldies. You know, there were no sort of saves that left you absolutely spellbound.
No, but I think there were a lot of scrambles, weren't there? And there were a lot of times where he had to be more aggressive, because there were, like, you know, a couple of Belfast players who were, you know, they were hanging around and chucking, you know, chucking sticks in and what have you. You know, they were trying to get shots in after the puck was frozen, just to, if nothing else, but to probably try and get Rock off his game.
Yeah, I mean, they resorted to some interesting tactics and strategy to try and unsettle Rock. And, you know, why wouldn't they? He's just come off a game where he's conceded 9 goals, you know, and probably lost his head after the 4th goal. So, you know, they might have thought, this guy, you know, if we get him off his game, he's there for the taking. And so is the game. The game's there for the taking. So, great, great mental resilience from Rock tonight. You know, a real sort of turnaround, massive turnaround. The guys probably got a rocket from the coaching staff coming back from Glasgow. You wouldn't have thought, you know, after all the time they've spent on a bus over the last few hours, you know, they could have produced that sort of performance. But it was, you know, really energetic. I really enjoyed it. There was so much to love about it. And it looked like the guys could have gone for another period as well. You know, they had that much jump and that much energy in them that they pretty much outworked Belfast. And it's not often you say that you can outwork a Belfast team that's coached by Adam Keith, because he holds that team to high standards and, you know, high levels of accountability. But I think we outworked Belfast tonight.
Well, the one thing I will say is, if you have 4 bench coaches and not one of them spots that you have 6 outskaters on the ice, maybe that needs to be addressed. Just saying. Just saying. Paul, you had your hand up.
You were talking about Stojanovic. I thought tonight, you know, he deserved his man of the match. I don't necessarily think he deserved the one Wednesday night. I don't think he deserved that one. But, I mean, tonight I thought he did. I mean, all right, a kid in a Greg Lake shirt, not Greg Lake, Ben Lake. Greg Lake.
Yeah, that guy.
Rock, isn't he? Yeah. Getting the Ben Lake shirt gives the man of the match to, Ben Lake for them. But I thought tonight Stojanovic deserves it.
Thank you very much. Right.
One question before
we move on. Let's have it.
There's a question for everybody around the table.
Oh, hello.
Wake up.
Well, hold on.
And I'm going to get groans for this, but is Sexy Nilsson Hockey well and truly back in the Nottingham?
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, there is a chant.
I'm not a big fan of that.
I'm not a fan of that chant.
I'll tell you why.
No, well, he's got a long way to go before he gets the respect and the kudos that his dad gets from the Nottingham Panthers fan base. I'm sorry.
Don't badmouth a club legend that has his number retired.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
It's funny, and it was meant tongue-in-cheek. But genuinely, is Sexy Nilsson Hockey back with the Nottingham Panthers? Because Logan, boy's on fire. Yeah, come on!
I'd say hell yes.
Hell to the yes.
Oh, hell yeah. Can I get a hell yeah? Yeah.
And if someone can tell me what he has been eating, because that question still hasn't been answered yet. I think he's nicking Ken's boost, frankly.
I'm going to go with Weetabix. I'm going with Weetabix.
No, he's had his shredded wheat. Shredded wheat.
I don't care what it is, as long as he keeps doing it. I don't care.
I think he will.
We need to be sponsored by whoever it is.
Absolutely. Right.
This has got non-PG, hasn't it?
Boys and girls, I think on that jovial note, I think we should leave it there, unless anybody else has got anything they specifically would like to put forward for discussion.
I'd like to apologise.
I mean, it's a bit late for that. It's a bit late for that. I don't.
We've got a tough March. We've had a tough February games-wise. We've got a really tough March games-wise.
We've proven that we can, you know, even the tough schedule, we've proven we can get results.
Yeah, true.
I'm not worried.
Just we're getting players back, which is, I mean, we lost Mioud. Hopefully he's not out. Actually, he's not out too long. But
who turned Tony on?
No, right. Hang on, right. When Peggy, get out of my pub. I don't know if you guys, but when the injury to Miss Show was announced, I was really worried because he's been key. But credit to the guys for stepping up and covering him. Done a cracking job, and we got the result.
Yeah, most definitely.
I mean, you get Welsh back. I mean, who knows? He just seems to be. I mean, I made a point of actually watching his girlfriend's TikToks today because I've not been on the TikTok for a while. And even she's saying it's like he's so gutted to not be out there. It sounds like the rest of the Panthers players have got a sitting babysitter because like it seems like well she's doing all that for him. But it just seems from something that sounded so innocuous and nothing. He seems to have been out forever. It's the same with Ollie.
Those two guys, Ollie and Welsh, you know, we were really worried, I think the last time we spoke, that we were like missing their energy and their sort of, you know, jump and the fact that they were the spark on the roster, especially in amongst the forward lines. And, you know, the rest of the guys have stood up, you know, and they've been counted.
I was going a very long way around getting it, but that was my point. Yeah. You get them back into the lineup in the running and it does give us that jump that you were talking about.
Yeah. Absolutely, and you know, a full roster going into the you know the postseason is what every club needs. And how would a club not miss somebody like Ollie? And also Welsh, you know, has you know shown that he's a really, really good forward, and he's not afraid of sort of going in where it hurts.
Well, he's a high energy forward, isn't he? And he's and he gives the rest of the team that jump. You know, he's one of those players that you feed off.
I think I talked about this in one of the podcasts a few weeks ago, but I vividly remember a shift from Welsh in the Sky Dome when we played Coventry away, and I think he probably made about three checks and got checked twice himself. You know, by the fourth or fifth check, I thought, how has this guy even still got the energy to drag himself around the ice? But he was just going from check to check along the boards. And I thought, wow, you know, that is absolutely commendable. The energy that guy has got, you know, to try and, you know, keep the team work ethic high, brilliant. And that's sort of, you know, that's the... I'm trying to work out what to say here, which is always a bit bad on a podcast, but you know he was setting the example. He really was setting the example, and we need him back in the lineup. The guys are doing okay, you know, without him, but he would improve this roster.
Yeah, most definitely. I just want to get something out of my brain and onto this podcast, but we've talked about individual and isolated, I don't want to say errors, things that have happened with players. You know, I mean, let's take the Paré headbutt in inverted commas. You know, there's been things like that has happened. But when was the last time we were able to sit down, do a podcast like this, and not feel like we had to be diplomatic talking about any player not bringing the effort, giving, you know, 100%, you know, not contributing. We have got a team this season who is fully invested.
And that's not all down to what happened last year.
No, God, no.
It's the attitude of the players themselves. You've got your rose-tinted glasses, if you like, because of, you know, you're looking favourably on the team because and the coaching staff of what happened. But it's that's not the reason why there is so much love towards this team. Paul, you wanted to come in, and I'm sorry.
Yeah. As somebody who's been here from day one, back in 2013,
just thought I'd drop that in there. And I was slagging off Graham and Gallivan on sort of a weekly rotation.
Yeah, depending on which one was playing.
I don't think we've ever been in that situation before. I think you've got to say it's down to the coaching staff. That team in there is playing for the coaching staff. And we've had any number of teams who, quite frankly, haven't. And I think you've just got to say it's down to Jonathan Paraday, Kevin Moore, Rick Strachan and Ant's Finger.
No, just that was just me signalling that I wanted to come in after you. I think just to touch on that as well, and we've touched on it on previous podcasts as well, in the taxi on the way here today, I was chatting to the taxi driver, and I was trying to explain to him, you know, things that had happened, and because he was asking about why, you know, in the last 2 weeks, Adam and myself have done a 14 hours worth of driving to go and see us get, you know, concede 18 goals, but we've done it, and I'm saying we've done it because this team deserves every sort of backing we can give him, but B, there is such a camaraderie, such a cohesiveness, togetherness with the Panthers fans and the team that I've not seen for a long, long time. We've had the last few seasons where it's, you know, for whatever reason, the team seemingly went more corporate and went away from the fans. That has totally come together this season, and you know, this is the sort of, when you talk about the close culture of an ice hockey in the UK, because it's such a minority sport, you kind of get it, you kind of defend it against, you know, people that, you know, look on it as an American.
It's like
thing.
If you've got siblings, nobody else can chat stuff about your siblings, but you can say whatever you want, but you love them with all your heart.
Yeah. and so you've got that within the sort of the fan base, but I've not felt as close a connection to the team at the moment that I have since, use your words. Yeah, he brought the Challenge Cup trophy into T&D after we won the Challenge Cup. Who needs Dan Tessier? We've got Steve Pelletier. There we go. I've not. That was the chant. That was a chant. He brought the Challenge Cup trophy into T&D, and he was literally, the fans were parading him around on his shoulders and everything like that. I mean, don't get me wrong. And then when I look back on that, it was funny chanting it at the time because obviously Tessier had just signed for Sheffield and what have you. But when Tessier came back to us, what a play. This is a whole different...
This is what I'm trying to get back to, just that connection.
You know, we kind of went away with, you know, we're charging fans to go and see us with trophies, have your professional picture with the trophies. Before that, I can remember the Challenge Cup being, like, passed around the rink, in the seats around the rink and stuff. And if
I can remember. Yeah, I'm going to say me and Adam have got a photo with Cam Jansen parading two trophies between the legend and Bunkers. It's like, who's going to tell Cam Jansen he can't take the trophies around to the pubs? Nobody.
And to be fair, you know, when we brought Monty home from Belfast, there were loads of fans waiting in the airport. They were allowed to take photos and stuff. I know Martin Boston took great delight. I took great delight in still being in Belfast celebrating, another trophy. But hey ho, Jono, you've been waiting so patiently. Come on in, son.
Pray a moment of order for TV's Jono Bullard.
No, you were saying about the connection with the fans and this is special. And obviously, because of what happened is a big part of that. But I think the fans are invested in this team this year. For the reasons that we've said, they show a hell of an amount of effort. They give everything on the ice. And we talk on the official podcast about the energy that comes into the building. Ken talks about it all the time. We've not had atmospheres like that in the... We've not had atmospheres like that in that building for
many seasons. It's buzzing in there now.
But I suppose the other thing as well is it's not just the fact, because, I mean, you know, if anybody who listens, you know, you guys around the table, anybody who listens to this podcast knows, I appreciate a team that gives 100% regardless of the outcome. However, we've got guys who are delivering an outcome right now. They've had the cloud kind of lifted from them now. They are playing with the freedom that they deserve and they are capable of showing. And it's not just the effort.
We're seeing the potential of this team that yes. we were seeing prior to the incident happening.
Most definitely. Sorry, Adam. Well, so we'll come over to you now.
I was just going to say, I mean, they're all really, really accurate and valid. No, it's not all about the effort. That was the last podcast. I just wanted to say that I might have spoken and contributed to a Periscope last night that Ant launched, and I might have said that I was going to burn two caps. Don't worry, no caps were harmed, no caps are being burned.
No caps were harmed in the making of this Belfast win. The win against exactly. Belfast, sorry.
But we're still minded to not wear our caps for the next foray north to Scotland. It's to be decided. My choice of headwear is to be decided.
Keep it on now. We've just beaten Belfast 5-1, mate. We've just beaten the Grand Slam champions 5-1 and made them look. Well, actually, they were quite good tonight. We were just.
They were good. Yeah, they were good. We were better.
Me and Dan said on comms they were the better team for a lot of that game tonight.
Well, yeah,
especially
that's what happens when you spend most of it on the power play.
Especially the second period. Yeah. But, you know. Great performance by Roxy Anovich.
Yeah, we absolutely weathered the storm tonight, and it was a deserved win, and it puts us in good spirits for, you know, the ever tough schedule, because, you know, like we've already touched on, it's congested and we've got a lot to do.
Can I just say, there we are, vetoed.
Hey, I'm the one with the mic, you bugger off.
Adam, it's all about concentration.
It's all about concentration, and these guys are never going to let me forget about that from the last podcast. You had to sort of be around the table to get it, so it's a bit of an in-joke, but there you go. Can I just say, we are not, and hopefully this won't be the case for very long, we are not a 10th placed hockey team. So,
no.
We are not a 10th placed hockey team by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
I think our trajectory is firmly on the up, and over the next few weeks, I hope we can sort of ascend maybe to sort of like 6th. Maybe that's probably where we are, the extent of our ambition, just because of the, you know, points and the games that we've got left. But, you know, let's finish the regular season as strongly as we possibly can. You know, now, I genuinely would be upset if we didn't make the final 8, if we didn't get to the quarterfinals, because there was a time where I think, and other people might want to chip in here.
I hope not, because we're running out of time. Carry on.
I'll try and be brief about it. There was time where I did not give us a chance of making the final 8. I didn't think we were going to finish top 8. We were miles and miles adrift of everybody else. And the last few weeks and the great run that we've been on, you know, with the odd exception, we've dragged ourselves back into the equation. We're now in the conversation about playoffs. Let's keep that momentum going. As Jono was saying a minute or two ago, the atmosphere around the club is unbelievable. The atmosphere during the games is great, and I'm sure tonight that probably dragged the players along a little bit and they were tired. So let's see more of that. Let's keep going game by game, see where we can get to, and, you know, what will be in the playoffs.
Sarah and all that. I've completely forgotten what I was going to talk about. I know I do need to.
It's
I do
all
need
about
to
concentration.
I put in our chat group a week or so ago. If everybody wins their games, and we all got up to the same level games played as 5, this was before Wednesday. We would be 6th. And to say that, like you were saying, we'd given up. We were done, you know. And then all of a sudden, we've put a run together, and everybody's beating everybody else. This league is so tight, apart from them lot up top. You know, just might as well just give them the trophy now. Just let them go on holiday, so we can get some blooming wins against them. And hopefully,
yeah, we'll play the Steel Dogs.
Well, can you remember when Belfast won the league so early on, and then they absolutely
take the Challenge Cup to us and lost in the playoff final to Sheffield?
Thank you, Jono.
And they were by far the best team in the league that season by a country mile.
Yeah, so long may it continue. I kind of forgot what I was going to say. I just want to go back to the togetherness thing. And Pashas come under a lot of criticism. Some of it, maybe, you know, rightly so. Cardiff have managed to equalise. Bloody hell.
I've just seen that.
Pashas come under a lot of scrutiny because of where we've, and we were, what, seventh last year. We are currently 10th. But the change in attitude with the fans and the club started with him coming in, and it started last season. Yes, it's been almost fast-tracked because of what happened this year, but I think we were on the right trajectory there anyway. The other thing that I've wanted to mention, which I've now remembered, is Adam and I chatting over the weekend, and I said to Adam, I think if we get 3 points this weekend, it would have been an excellent result, but we have to get 2 points against Glasgow and we'll take the point against Belfast. Losing last night was a four-pointer last night. However, winning tonight and seeing that Clan have also been shellacked by Dundee kind of takes that edge away, and it keeps us going. So it last night was a catastrophe, but it's turned out to not be as horrible as we thought it would have been, like that ridiculous game in five.
So I would just like to touch on what you just said about Omar Pasha. So Omar Pasha has very clearly learnt his lessons from the hiring of Gary Graham, and he's brought in a coaching staff who are absolutely brilliant. They are behind the team. They support the team. And I mean, it's the little things, you know. It's like, what was it, a game a couple of weeks ago where Hugo Wild missed a penalty shot and Kevin Moore was straight away there to just say, look, don't worry, mate, don't worry. You know, he basically had his arm around him just to say, it's okay. And, you know, the little things like Paraday, you know, high-fiving them all when they go out onto the ice.
Bum slaps, all about the bum slaps.
Whatever it is, it's the support.
No, what it's all about is the eye contact. As he's slapping their arse, he's looking straight at them.
And he loves... And you can tell, he cares about the guys under his charge. They all do. They care about the guys under their charge. And that's what your hockey players will play for a coaching staff who have got their back.
And that's what we've got. We've got a team that is playing for those two coaches. I mean...
Three
coaches. Apologies to Rick there.
I mean, I didn't mention Rick because Rick Strachan is basically, you know, in Pirates of the Caribbean where they've been on the Flying Dutchman for so long that they just kind of, they're kind of part of the ship, part of the crew. But Rick Strachan's been very important because he's taken duties from Kevin Moore and from Jonathan Paraday.
It's like when we didn't have Paraday being interviewed for that sort of short period. I mean, it was clear after the last interview he did, you know, English isn't his first language, but it was clear after the interview, he was so emotional about it. And the team worked together, coaching staff worked together, they took the pressure off him, and now Jonathan's back, he's being, you know, he gets Jono's mug in his face going, asking him questions, and he's quite happy to sit there and talk to us, you know. It's you're right, that is part of, and I'm not going to use the words that Sheffield use about family and what have you, and I'm not Dominic Toretto, but they're a unit, and we are one. And let's, you know, the march to the playoffs. If we make the playoffs, we're going to win the whole effing lot.
Thank you for the for not swearing. I appreciate it.
I can say effing. Right?
Yeah, effing's fine. Yeah, I'll go with that. It's fine. I think we've sort of, you know, got it all out there. We've said everything that we probably need to say right now. So yeah. March to the playoffs. It's on. It is. It is on, boys and girls. Yes, we are. All those analogies. I think we've got all the analogies. We've got all the cliches out. So, yeah, let's. Here we are. So, thank you very much for sticking with us. thank you very much for being our friends, being our listeners. Thank you very much to the guys who I have... Thank you, Paul. Thank you very much to the guys who I've shared the table with tonight, because I think this has been a very, very good, a very intense and a very emotional podcast. So thank you very, very much to Adam Reddish.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Aunt Marie-Jean.
Thank you. Good evening, good night, good morning, whenever. Goal given, I should think so too.
John O'Bullard.
I should think so too.
To Paul Baum, and just a quick reminder, you can still buy Paul Baum's Panthers, a day, what's it called?
A day by day guide.
Thank you very much. You can still buy Paul's book on Amazon. Thank you, Paul.
Yes, thank you, and apologies for the smutty joke in the middle of all of this.
Oh, please don't apologise, because we were just going to leave it there. Tony?
See you guys, thanks for listening.
And Zara?
Hey, see you guys.
Tara, thank you very much, see you next time. Yes.